This is the Top 25 Rundown, and here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown, presented by Sportscast. Today is September 14, 2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch TV, and Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. You can listen to us on your smart speaker, play Sportscast, visit us on thesportscast.net, and all follow us on Twitter at thesportscast1, and check out our app on the Sportscast in the iOS Apple Store. My name is Alan West. I am here with Tyler Turner. How are you, sir?
Good, man. How you doing?
Living the dream 1 hour at a time. What a week college football was last weekend. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to this week. But, Well, first of all, we got to talk about Alabama-Texas. What a game.
Yes. Let me know your thoughts first. What were your thoughts in the game?
Well, Quinn Ewers getting hurt was tremendous. Nick Saban got extremely lucky, and I'm wondering if he's going to send Steve Sarkisian a check after how that game ended. I'm wondering that. What about you, sir?
Yeah, the key takeaways I'd probably say personally from the game was, first off, Texas came to play. They played extremely well on the defensive side of the ball. And honestly, their offense looked really good early. The problem was Quinn Ewers is the high upside quarterback, and he got injured. He looked very good, completed a couple of nice passes to Xavier Worthy down the field. Run game looked good. I honestly think if Quinn Ewers would have stayed in that game with how they were clicking offensively and how well they were playing defensively, I for sure think Texas comes out with a victory. Unfortunately, Ewers got hurt. Hudson Card came in. Hudson Card actually got hurt. He's battling with, I think, a knee strain. So it handicapped the offense, and despite that, Texas had the lead 19-17 with a minute left, and Bryce Young, being the great player he is, was able to drive the team down the field and hit a game-winning field goal. But as a whole, I was very impressed by the Texas performance, and they were really an injured quarterback away from pulling off that upset.
I completely agree. It was frustrating, though, because it looked like it was going to happen. Then when Alabama kicked that field goal with 10 seconds left to go, it was like, how did he make it happen?
Yeah, it was a little luck. It was a little, and honestly, Nick Saban's a great coach, and normally I'll say he's just a great coach pulling out. He's the greatest coach. He's the greatest coach in college football history. And normally I'd say it's a great coach just pulling out one. But when your team has like 17 penalties, and was literally looked discombobulated at times at both sides of the ball, but especially on offense. It took some luck because they really could have been down by about 14 points and they wouldn't have had a chance for victory. So it took a little luck.
Well, I mean, we got to see how they rebound and play the rest of their SEC schedule and see how it is come playoff time, depending on how it goes. Although, Appalachian State, this is the second time they have upset a team in the top 10. I, being an Ohio State fan, I remember when they upset Michigan at the Big House for the first Big Ten network football game. But to watch Texas A&M after all the drama that happened this offseason, how do you feel about that?
Well, when you talk about drama, you mean the good drama of Texas A&M, the great recruiting class? Is that kind of – or are you talking about the drama with Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban?
Well, I'm more curious about the recruiting class just because you know that no matter what, the coaches are going to be talking either way. But I remember that the recruiting class seemed like it was amazing. It was like how Georgia looked last year. Greatest so to of see all them time. Already be have a loss, I was really shocked.
Well, a couple of things about that. So, yeah, Texas A&M had the greatest recruiting class on paper in college football history. But to be fair, those kids are all freshmen. So, I mean, even though it's the greatest recruiting class in college football history, you're talking about a bunch of 18-year-olds that it probably will take a couple of years before they get to play at their level. Okay. As far as A&M, though, the problem I have seen for years for Jimbo Fisher is the offense. He's not developed a quarterback. Well, I wouldn't say as much a quarterback. He hasn't developed an offense that is really efficient enough, explosive enough. And even in past years, Jimbo Fisher has had top 10 talent pretty much for the last couple of years. He had a good year. He almost made the 2 years ago when he almost made the college football playoff. He had a 10 team. And so you got to think about that. So he still had a very good season. He probably should have made the college football playoff. There's many make the argument. But the other 3 years, the constant problem and the reason why they've gone 7-5 and 8-4 is just an offense at time that's been kind of stagnant and not great quarterback play and not great wide receiver play. And I don't understand, especially the wide receiver play, because he's recruited that position at a high level. I mean, I can name you four or five stars and guys like Desmond Demas and Evan Stewart, and there's been others that have come through there that were these elite outside guys, and I just haven't seen the offense really be anything more than kind of a simplistic or overcomplicated. Simplistic, but it also seems to be overcomplicated, because why is it so difficult to get these great players the ball? And that's systematic. Jimbo Fisher has to change up the offense, hire a better offensive coordinator, stop doing the play calling and give it to a guy that's younger and more innovative, because I just feel like his approach out there is just not working specifically offensively, and it's handicapping the team because he has great players on defense and he has some great players on offense, but they're just not being utilized. So I if I was an A&M fan, I'm a little frustrated. So
I did see today that ESPN had an article where Fisher talked about he was willing to not be calling the offensive plays because he was saying that the team is more important, and if I don't have an ego in that respect. So I'm going to wait to see what happens with that, just because as we're going to get into later on, I heard another coach say the same thing like that, and well, he's looking for a new job right now. So, but next game that I was thinking about is Baylor and BYU. That was a great game.
Yeah, that was a very good game. Couple notes on that. It was in BYU, and that's a tough place to play at night. Provo, Utah. That fan base comes out strong. It's a loud stadium. Utah, the University of Utah, and Rice-Eccles and Provo Stadium. Brigham Young Stadium are both extremely difficult places to play. But what made it impressive was BYU was handicapped. Their two best wide receivers, Puka Nacua and Garner Romney, were out. So it really made them a little more one-dimensional than they would like, but they still were able to pull it out. They played good defense. They ran the ball well. Jaren Hall, who is a dual-threat guy, made some great plays on his feet. And they made some timely stops on defense and were able to sneak the game out in double overtime. Now, I think that tough game might catch up with them this week, and we might mention that later. But it was a good victory for BYU.
Now, I just realized there was one game I forgot to mention to you about, but I think you'll understand why we got to talk about this just for a quick second. Pittsburgh, Tennessee.
Good game.
How that game was so close, and literally it came down to the last play of the game.
It did. And a little bit of a break for Tennessee. Keaton Slovis got hurt early in that game, and the offense was looking pretty good under Keaton. And it definitely was not as efficient under I don't even know the gentleman's name. But that's another game that Alabama and Tennessee won. But if Quinn Ewers was the quarterback and Keaton Slovis was the quarterback, I have a feeling that Pittsburgh and Texas win those games. So that's just my opinion.
I agree. Hooker was able to be an okay quarterback for that game for Tennessee. But the last one I got to make sure we talk about, which was it looks like it was the longest game of the weekend. Lovely.
Well, it must have been a good game. It got some music going.
Yeah, it did. It did. It woke it up, which I was a little surprised about, but we'll be okay. But it was the
Marshall and Houston.
Marshall Notre Dame, but also Houston, how they had to do the double overtime game.
I didn't see that game, but yeah, good victory by Texas Tech. New coach. I would be surprised if they're still a real legitimate threat within the Big 12, but new coach, good victory. I didn't see it, so I'm not gonna give it too expansive of because I did you see it?
I watched a very little bit of it. I saw more of the highlights than anything, but just when you're getting into double overtime in any game, that means it's going to be a slugfest of a game. Because, I mean, in week one, North Carolina had to go into, I think, triple or quadruple overtime to beat Appalachian State. So, I mean, it's some of these games, we're in for a pretty successful season and a pretty crazy season in that.
And it's crazy that Appalachian State went on the road and pulled off the upset. That's crazy after a double overtime. That's a good point.
What about Marcus Freeman being the first coach in Notre Dame history to start off his career 0-3 after losing to Marshall?
Okay. People keep on throwing me off of that. I forget. Marcus Freeman lost to Oklahoma State.
In the bowl game.
Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, that was – so the bowl game, Gilbert played against a good Oklahoma State team. He was missing some guys with some opt-outs. I understand that. Taking over as a new head coach, Kelly had left. Ohio State at Ohio State, one of the best teams in college football. I thought his team actually played relatively well, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But to lose at home to Marshall, who's well-coached, Charles Huff's a good coach, was just surprising. But the offense, which didn't look good against Ohio State, I'm like, man, maybe Ohio State's defense really improved. But it looked terrible against Marshall. And then they lost their quarterback, who didn't look great. But he obviously was a starter, and I think he's a more talented guy, Tyler Puckner, than Drew Pine. They have too many injuries at the wide receiver position. I don't think they quite have the same talent at the running back position. And I think they're a little youthful at the offensive line. I don't think it's a very good offense. And despite it having top 10, top 15 talent on paper, I think a lot of that talent's younger guys. And I don't know if there's no – I came into the season. I think if you look back, I said if any team was too overrated, it was Notre Dame. I just felt like their better players were young and their more experienced players weren't great. And they, you know, have the new coach who plays a pretty tough schedule. I saw it as a 8-4, 9-3 season. And honestly, I don't even know if they're that good. I don't know if they beat North Carolina. I would highly doubt they beat a BYU and BYU. USC at USC, you know, I don't like USC, and I think they're overrated too. But still, at USC, with an explosive offense that's going to score some points, can they keep up with that? A Clemson? Clemson comes to Notre Dame. Is this a 6-6 season for Notre Dame?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm wondering about that myself, although when we were making predictions, I made a prediction myself that everyone in the room thought I was wrong about when I said that Scott Frost would not make it more than 4 games. Everyone looked at me like I was crazy when we did that on the show, and then
yeah, you got me wrong.
They laid the egg, and he got let go.
Yeah, he got fired.
They couldn't score. I mean, did you watch that game on Saturday?
Well, couldn't score. That's not the problem.
Well, no. What it was?
He scored 42 points.
But the problem was
not the scoring.
They had a touchdown with under 2 minutes left to go.
Yeah.
And so you watched and you saw that Georgia State had the ball, and you just looked and you could see, you just knew they were going to score the game-winning touchdown. And you just look at Scott Frost on the sideline, and he knew that his defense was not going to show up. They were not going to be able to close it out. And in the end, they didn't close it out, and they were embarrassed because this was Clay Helton's, I guess, major debut against a big team since he was let go from USC. And then he literally, just looking at Frost afterwards,
He was gone. I agree. Well, you threw me off when you said couldn't score. Yeah, their problem is not their scoring. Their problem is their defense. That defense is terrible. True, true. They can't stop. They couldn't stop a seventh grade junior high team. I mean, they're just really not good this year. I don't think they have great players. I don't love the scheme. This is not a good Nebraska team. This is not a good program. I was a Scott Frost. He was my favorite player growing up, but unfortunately, mm-hmm. He had to go. He just team didn't get any better. They couldn't win games, and they're looking worse. So, I'm looking forward to see where Nebraska goes. There was a report out that it's Matt Campbell is who they're targeting. It just came out actually right before mm-hmm. I came on here. That's who I predicted. I actually did a video on YouTube the other day.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I think it's Matt Campbell. I think that's it makes sense. I mean, he's a Midwest guy. He's a great program developer. He's going to Nebraska, he gets more resources, better facilities, better conference, better history. Yeah. I think he takes the job. I think that's a great hire. Yeah, I mean, Matt Campbell's a hire. You should be happy for Nebraska. I think he'll be a very good coach in the Big mm-hmm. in the Big Ten and for Nebraska.
Well, I mean, the reason why they had Scott Frost, they fired him, and Nebraska's going to pay him $30 million, is because the streak that they have for consecutive sellouts, they knew that if he was going to keep coaching, they were going to lose that streak, and that was one streak that has basically been the pride of Nebraska for so long. They don't want to lose that. So, I mean, I know it was tough to let him go since he's basically a Nebraska legend, but in the end, they had to do what they had to do.
They had to. I mean, it was the right decision. So I'm glad they moved on from him, and hopefully – I hope it's Matt Campbell. That's who I hope it is, and mm-hmm. That's who I think actually ends up getting it. So,
hey, I mean, if it works out like that, I'm hoping it does. Although, what games are you looking forward to this upcoming weekend?
Number one – well, there's a few games I'm looking forward to, but I got to go with my number one, my Oregon Ducks. They play BYU at home. It's one of the only two top 25 matchups. Mm-hmm. 12:30 time slot, Pacific time, Fox Sports. I think it's a great game. I think it's a good matchup. And, yeah, it's Fox.
Yep. Yeah, it says 3:30 here, but, yeah.
12:30. I said 12:30 Pacific.
Yeah, but I mean 12:30. That's
12:30. So 3:30 Eastern. Yep. Mm-hmm. So what are you gonna say?
Yeah, no. Go on, yeah, because I was just
you gave this look like you just saw a ghost.
Well that's why when you said 12:30, I was like, wait a second, I see 3:30. Do you know something I don't know?
No, I said 12:30 Pacific. So
gotcha, okay.
Didn't follow that Pacific. Because where is the game being played?
Exactly. You're right.
And not God's country. I'm just kidding. Kind of. Not really. Even though it's BYU. So I shouldn't really, I should tread lightly on this. That's partially God's country. Oregon, not so much. love you, Ducks. Oh, believe me, their banner. By the way, on the message boards on Twitter, they're mm-hmm. bannering about that very subject. They're bannering about that very subject. I think it's a good matchup. I do like Oregon. The reason why I like Oregon is because of a couple reasons. Number one, it's at Allison Stadium. They have not lost a non-conference game since 2008. They haven't lost a game overall since 2018. They have the third longest streak in college football at 20 straight home wins. It's a mm-hmm. tough place to play. It's one of the tougher places to play in college football. That's number one. Number two, BYU playing Baylor, they did go off a hard double overtime victory. Mm-hmm. And they won walk-off fashion. That's kind of hard to come back and then have to play a pretty good team on the road. Mm-hmm. Number three, if those two wide receivers are out, the advantage that I could see BYU having is I don't like the secondary right now for Oregon. You saw it obviously in the Georgia team, but I had already suspected it. The Georgia game, I already suspected it. If they had Gunnar Romney and Puka Nacua, those are two of the better wide receivers in the West Coast, I think they could be able to do some things in the passing game. And this would be a little trickier pick. But if I don't believe they're going to play, I believe they're both out with high ankle sprains. So therefore, I just don't think the run defense for Oregon's much better than their pass defense. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to have trouble. They're going to become a little too one-dimensional. And mm-hmm. so the defense will be able to do good enough. And while BYU has a solid defense, they still have some susceptibility on the outside. Oregon sure. does still have some dynamic guys in the passing game. They are able to run the ball enough. They have one of the more experienced offensive lines in college football. I just think they'll end up outscoring them, and I don't think BYU will be able to keep up because of having those injuries to the guys on the outside. So I'm looking at kind of like a 34-24 type victory for Oregon.
Okay, did you see who Miami is playing this weekend?
Texas A&M.
Yes, sir. How do you think that's going to go?
It could go a couple different ways. Number one, Texas A&M's kind of ticked off. They just got upset. They come out inspired, have a really good defensive game. I don't trust Miami on offense. And they kind of shut Miami down. They're able to do enough on offense and win kind of an ugly kind of like 24-14 game. Number two, Texas A&M doesn't have their crap together. Their offense comes out, it sputters, maybe turns the ball over, and Miami ends up winning the game like 31-14. I could see it going, or it's just an ugly game. Both teams will look like crap on offense. And someone steals it in the last second on a field goal. I'm going with Texas A&M coming out with a little bit of a chip, making enough adjustments on offense. Jimbo Fisher still is a good coach. I mean, he's won a national title. He's been in the college football playoff. He had A&M 10-1 2 years ago. I think you get it together. I think at home they're able to bounce back. I think they went 24-14. Yeah, I'm going to go with that.
Okay. What do you think about Michigan State and Washington, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 matchup?
Good game. Washington's looked better than I thought. I think their offense looks pretty good now under Kalen DeBoer. Michigan State, solid team. Have just some good players on both sides of the ball. Nothing. They don't have anything special, but they have a great coach in Mel Tucker, good staff, and a solid team. It's in Washington, which Washington, when they're good, are very good at Washington. It's kind of like Altson. The West Coast stadiums, at least in the Washington, Oregon, even Corvallis in Oregon State, even Pullman in Washington State, they have these very small stadiums that are super loud. But it really benefits the home team. It's like small, dark, Pacific Northwest stadiums. And that's why it's kind of hard to beat those teams, especially when they're good at home. I think Michigan State's better, and especially how I've seen Michigan State play, and I think they're just a little better team, but it's at home. And I've liked Michael Penix, and I think the offense is doing some solid things. I'm going to go Washington. I think it's super close. It's going to be a good game. I think it's one of those like 31-28 type games off the top of my head. I'm going to go Washington. My gut, and before the season, I was picking Michigan State, but Washington's looked better than I thought. I think Washington's a decent team this year. I think they're an 8-4 or 9-3 team. Okay. Probably 8-4, but not a bad team. Not bad for Kalen DeBoer in his first year. He's a good coach.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, another game I just looked at is Oregon, Oklahoma, Nebraska.
Oh, Oklahoma blows them out.
I'm thinking that as well, yeah. Although for the SEC and the Big Ten, Penn State and Auburn, that could be a relatively good game.
I actually picked Auburn to upset them in the beginning of the season. I don't know. Auburn doesn't look great. Penn State, I think, is a little better program at this time. I think Penn State wins it. I don't feel super confident on it because I still think Penn State has some offensive problems. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go Penn State in a close one. Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty good game. But I think Auburn is – I think Brian Harsin's basically fired. I don't even know why he's coaching this year.
Yeah.
So I don't think they want him there. I don't think it's worked out well. So I'm going to pick Auburn. Sorry, Penn State.
That's okay. I mean, I completely understand. And I wondered how he was lucky enough to be back right now, honestly, myself. The only other game I really see in the top 25 that would be somewhat interesting is Ole Miss and Georgia Tech.
Ole Miss. Ole Miss is better, people. You know, they're still figuring out the offense a little bit with Jackson Dart behind there. I don't think they're as good as last season. I don't think they're a team that's going to make a New Year's Six bowl game this year. But I still think they just have better people than Georgia Tech, so I'm going to go Ole Miss there.
Okay. Well, I think I kind of know where you're going to lean with this one, so I only got two more games for you really quickly. Then I know you got to run. I appreciate the time on here today, but we got Georgia and South Carolina.
Clearly, South Carolina is pulling up the upset. They're getting the troops together. Spencer Rattler's having that Heisman moment. No, I'm not. I actually picked South Carolina in the preseason this to be Georgia's loss. I thought Georgia might get upset because they tend to get upset by South Carolina. Georgia looks really good. They boat raced my Oregon Ducks, and I just think they're good. I think they're – I mean, it's 2 weeks into the season. I don't do polls until a month in, until I see I just think Georgia's pretty good, though. They have an experienced quarterback, a good offensive line, the best group of tight ends in the college football. Always have good stable running backs. They have extremely talented defense, best edge guy, best interior defensive tackle, best cornerback. Georgia's really good. As of today, if they all play, Georgia wins the national title. I really do think that. I think they beat Ohio State pretty easily, and I think they beat Alabama. Now, Ohio State and Alabama have the talent, but I just think as of today, it must be the coaching consistency, the experience at the quarterback position. Georgia's just a pretty good, darn good team. And they, I mean, they're defending national champs, and I think they're the best team right now in college football. So they win that by a lot. They win that by a lot.
That's what I think, too. I mean, that's why that one, and just because I know you're a Central Virginia guy right now, Liberty and Wake Forest.
Okay, I played Wake Forest my senior year at Liberty. So it's kind of cool that I come back and they're going back to Wake Forest to play Wake Forest. Now, this is a much better Liberty team. This is a team that they're up a level. They're no longer FCS. They're FBS. They have a guy like Aiden Salter as their starting quarterback. This is a guy who was a blue-chip guy who went to Tennessee. They have playmakers on the offensive side. They've played some solid defense the first couple weeks of the season. But Wake Forest is a pretty good team, and I believe, if you quote me if I'm wrong, Sam Hartman's back, isn't he?
He came back last week.
Sam Hartman's one of the better quarterbacks, not just in the ACC, but probably in general. And Wake Forest still gets better people overall than Liberty because they're in the ACC. And it's at home. But Liberty pulls off the upset.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
I got to do it. I got to do it. I have to pick my alma mater. So do I feel confident? No, because I just all of a sudden in the spur of the moment said it. And I don't – you normally don't pick the a non-Power 5 school that is at such a talent disadvantage. But – they have a good quarterback. They have one of the better – they really have one of the better non-Power 5 coaches. I mean, Hugh Freeze was a winner in the SEC, for goodness sake.
He is. He was.
They have a good team. I mean, they have a solid team. This is an 8-9-1 team this year, I think. So, they pull off the upset. Okay. I don't think I'm going to say that over BYU. I don't think I'm going to say that when they play – well, maybe Votech. They might be Votech. I don't think they beat Arkansas. But I think they pull off the upset over Wake Forest.
That's true, and actually, a funny story, I was at that game, too, so I remember that game very well.
Did you remember me playing?
I don't really remember you playing, to be honest, but I remember EL Estes got ejected for throwing his helmet, I believe.
You remember EL playing? You don't remember me?
Unfortunately, no. I don't know how I missed you, but, I mean, one reason I remember his name is because he got ejected from the game. He was the only player that got ejected from the game there.
I don't remember that.
And actually, if you watch
– I just got after quarterbacks.
Well, that and there's a movie that Wake Forest, one of their players did called The Fifth Quarter. Liberty, they did highlights from that game in that movie.
Oh, they did?
They did. So maybe something you'll want to check out another time. But
I actually played a decent game that day. I think I had like 4 or 5 tackles. I had a couple hurries. I had a reasonably good game against Wake Forest. I remember. I mean, I wasn't standout, but I remember I had a decent game. It was all right. It was a proud moment. I was playing against a team that ended up going to the Orange Bowl that year. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll never forget that with Riley Skinner as quarterback. But since I know you got to head out in a minute, how would people find you online?
Yeah, find me at TurnerCast. Mostly, I'm, you know, right now a little bit of Oregon stuff, a little bit of Liberty, a lot of Oregon, a little bit of Liberty. And I, yeah, just covering college football, doing my team talent formula. I post videos regularly on sportscast.net and on the YouTube channel. Come check it out. I'm looking forward to this season. I'm looking forward to this week. I think it's, like I said, if I had to say the three games, I'm really looking forward to Oregon versus BYU. I'm liking that Washington-Michigan State. That's a low-key, really good game. And you didn't ask me this game, but Fresno State-USC. Keep your eye on that one.
You're right, I didn't.
I'm picking USC to win this one because okay. I have to get them in that 3-0 matchup with Oregon State at Corvallis.
Okay.
Oregon State's going to jam the ball down their throat and beat them. I'm calling that right now.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. And you said that your Twitter was a TurnerCast, correct?
At TurnerCast, yep.
All righty. Well, hey, thank you for coming on. Have appreciate a good rest of your night.
All right, thanks,
and
we'll
do it next week.
I appreciate it.
All righty. So back on the top 25, going through week two, we had Alabama survive playing Texas 20-19. Georgia played Sanford. They won 33-0. Ohio State played Arkansas State, and they won 43-12. Number four, Michigan played Hawaii with a final score of 56-10. Clemson played Furman. The final score was 35-12, Clemson. Appalachian State had the upset of the year right now over number six, Texas A&M, 17-14 at Texas A&M. Excuse me. Oklahoma played Kent State and won 33-3. Marshall upset Notre Dame 26-21. BYU upset Baylor 26-20 in double overtime. USC beat Stanford 41-28. Oklahoma played Arizona State. They won 34-17. Kentucky beat Florida 26-16 at the Swamp. Utah played Southern Utah and they won 73-7. Michigan State shut out Akron 52-0. Miami played Southern Miss and they won 30-7. Number 16 Arkansas played South Carolina and they won 44-30. Tennessee upset Pittsburgh 34-27. Number 18, NC State, played Charleston Southern. They won 55-3. Wisconsin was beat by Washington State, 17-14. Old Miss played Central Arkansas. They won 59-3. Wake Forest beat Vanderbilt, 45-25. Then Texas Tech upset Houston, 33-30. And right now when I'm looking at my Heisman picks, you would have Bryce Young, who had an off day, 27-39. He only had 213 yards. He did have one touchdown, but in crunch time, he was able to drive for the game-winning drive to where they kicked the game-winning field goal with 10 seconds left to go in the game. C.J. Stroud, another Heisman hopeful. He was 16-24 for 351 yards, four touchdowns. Stetson Bennett, who could be considered a dark horse for the Heisman at Georgia, he was 24-34 for 300 yards with one touchdown. Those are the top three right now for the Heisman hopefuls. And coming up in the schedule for this coming week, we have, like me and Ty were just talking about, you have Fresno State. And you have USC. You have Ohio State and Toledo. You have It's going to be a pretty good weekend. You have Liberty and Wake Forest. Georgia against South Carolina, like Tyler said, that should be Spencer Rattler's coming out party. We're going to wait to see how that goes with him going against Stetson Bennett. Michigan is going to play UConn, and that should be a blowout, just like Oklahoma should blow out Nebraska this coming week. Kentucky going against Youngstown State, that should be Kentucky winning by 3 touchdowns. Baylor's going to be playing Texas State. BYU playing Oregon, as Tyler said, Oregon should pull that one out. It should be a really good game, possibly the game of the week. Number 20, Ole Miss, is going to be playing Georgia Tech. Penn State's going to be playing Auburn. Alabama's going to be playing Louisiana Monroe. Oklahoma State's going to be playing Arkansas Pine Bluff. Arkansas plays Missouri State. Tennessee's going to be playing Akron. NC State's going to be playing Texas Tech. One of the primetime games is Michigan State at Washington. You have Florida playing South Florida at the Swamp. You have Western Michigan hosting Pittsburgh. Louisiana Tech's going to be playing Clemson. Texas is going to be playing the University of Texas, San Antonio. Miami's going to be playing Texas A&M. Utah's going to play San Diego State. That is your top 25 scoreboard. And we're going to see how they go. Should be some pretty good games coming up next week. All right, we also have the boneheaded plays of the week. Now, the first week, unfortunately, weren't able to be here for, but Quinn Ewers of Texas, he won the game for the University of Texas, but apparently he did not know where to park. Because of that, his car was towed. Now, the only thing I could hope for Quinn Ewers that week, I really hope he didn't bring his Aston Martin, because if he brought that car and that was towed, I would hate to think of the tow bill plus the repair bill in case something got messed up. But last week, I was watching the Georgia game, and Stetson Bennett was talking with Kirby Smart, and he was on the sideline. And while he was talking with the coach, he was grabbed by the field goal kicker because Stetson Bennett's also the holder. If the field goal kicker hadn't grabbed him, he would have not rushed out so that he could have made the field goal so Georgia could have taken the lead. You're a great quarterback, sir, but you have to pay attention. And luckily, your field goal kicker saw what was going on, grabbed you, made sure you made the kick. You could go for a close second, Scott Frost. How he scored with a minute and 45 seconds left, I believe. But you looked and you saw that Georgia State still had time to drive for the game-winning touchdown. And well, sir, you had a great career as a Nebraska quarterback. Unfortunately, your coaching career did not work out the way you wanted. Happy trails. I wish you the best. And I know you're going to land on your feet as an offensive coordinator somewhere. I'm just waiting to see how it goes and to see how the new coach at Nebraska is going to go. All right, well, that about wraps up everything that we have for this opening on the Top 25 Rundown. Once again, my co-host Tyler Turner, you could see him on at the TurnerCast. We also have different things on the SportsCast. You can also see me on Twitter at Alan F. West or on Instagram at Alan.West46. You can follow us on Twitter at the SportsCast1 and visit us on our website, thesportscast.net. Make sure to check out our show schedule throughout the week. Also, the Jersey Boys tomorrow, make sure to tune in. They are going to have a memoriam show for their close friend who unfortunately passed away. I guess he's having his funeral tomorrow, so should be a very good show in remembrance of them. This is Alan West. Have a great one.